sheets last time. Do you still have them? And I would like a Rambam Hilchot Talmud Torah, please, to begin with. And a Masechet Menachot. Thank you very much. I have it here. Just a Masechet Menachot. I got that too? Okay, thank you. And a sheet. If there is a sheet, I will take a sheet. I'm doing this because I feel badly I'm not going to be here for 2 weeks.
I'll look for it.
Thank you. So I want to feel that at least this subject I've completed, and then we'll start something new in Hilchot Shabbat. One of the first things that we saw last time, which was not so long ago, was Thursday morning, right? One of the things that we saw within the Rambam was that for the Rambam there was Havayot Abaye V'Rava, that he called Davar Katan, and Maaseh Bereishit and Maaseh Merkava that he called Davar Gadol. Remember? And I interpreted Maaseh Bereishit and Maaseh Merkava, and that's the proper interpretation in the Rambam, it's Aristotle's physics and metaphysics. In other words, science and philosophy. And that's how the Rambam interprets the paradise or the orchard that the four went into. And what the Rambam says is that that's very important. Science and philosophy are very important. Really very important. We saw, again, how he put it at the end of Perek Talad of Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, that these things are bound up with the mitzvot of fearing and loving and knowing and clinging to God. And therefore they are so important. However, first you should study the Lechem Ubasar, the bread and the meat, the Havayot Abaye V'Rava, and there Miyashev Dato Shel Adam, and everybody can get to them. That's basic Torah. And then what he would call, I guess, the more elevated, philosophical, spiritual Torah, that's Maaseh Bereishit and Maaseh Merkava. I told you that the Rambam subsumes this under the term Gemara. I want to show it to you inside. Those who have Rambam's handy, Hilchot Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph. I think it's Halacha Chet. Hilchot Talmud Torah. Rambam's order is amazing, by the way. You can learn a world. The Rambam was also a very great orderer. So the Rambam's order is very critical. He thought about that. And the Rambam's order, Mishneh Torah, as you probably realize, is a forerunner of the Shulchan Aruch, and the Rambam is one of the three major biggies, excuse my expression, that the Rav HaMachaber in the Shulchan Aruch uses. The Rambam, the Rosh, the Rif. So the Rambam is a critical source for the Shulchan Aruch. However, the order of the Shulchan Aruch is based of the order of the Baal HaTurim, and the order of the Shulchan Aruch is entirely different. Whereas the Rambam begins with Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah, how does the Shulchan Aruch begin? Pardon? Getting up in the morning. And the Shulchan Aruch concludes with Hilchot Aveilut, and the Rambam concludes with Hilchot Melachim, Yemot HaMashiach. And if I were to give, to try to present the philosophy of halacha based on the Shulchan Aruch and the philosophy of halacha based on the Rambam, I would say that based on the Shulchan Aruch, halacha prescribes my life from the moment I get up in the morning to the moment I go to sleep at night, from cradle to grave. And that's correct. It's 100% correct. The Rambam, however, in his order, that's the whatness of halacha. In his order of things, the Rambam wants to stress what I would call the teleology of halacha. The genesis and the purpose of halacha. And therefore the Rambam begins with Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah, because for the Rambam, how you serve God is only important after you have a fundamental understanding of and appreciation for the God you are serving. And the service has to be you are serving God and not God serving you. In Avodah Zarah, the gods were propitiated, because the worshipper of Avodah Zarah really wanted to manipulate the gods to serve them. There are people like that too, bound up with the shir that I'm giving to the Kollel. There are many people who feel if they serve God, then they'll have an easy and good life, or, you know. So you do the mitzvot because I think you will have a better life, but that's not the reason for doing the mitzvot. The reason for serving the mitzvot is to serve God, to do what's right. V'takein olam. That's the Rambam's position. Therefore, he begins with Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah. You have to do it for the right God, the God of ethical monotheism. You have to do it for the right God. The God is Hashem, Hashem, Kerachim, B'chanon, to serve him. And the purpose is L'takein et ha'olam, Yemot HaMashiach. So it's interesting, Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah, Hilchot De'ot, and then right away Hilchot Talmud Torah, because that for the Rambam is major. You see, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch has it in a little bit of a different place. Okay. So the Rambam, Hilchot Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yudal. Halacha Yudal. V'chayav l'shalesh et zman l'midato. It is incumbent upon a person to divide the time of his learning into three parts. Shlish b'torah shebichtav. So that's Mikra. Shlish b'torah shebal peh, that's Mishnah. Ushlish yavin v'yaskil achrit davar mireishito. To understand and to perceive the end of the thing from its beginning. In other words, to understand the genesis of the halacha. Where did it come from? That's why we don't just learn Shulchan Aruch. So you have to understand from whence it's derived, from the Chumash and going through the generations. What's amazing about the Rambam, you see it in the Mishneh Torah, he knew it all. And he had it, that was before computers, his head was a master computer. He processed it, he knew it, he processed it, he ordered it. But you have to understand that that's the final product. And you have to understand what the final product comes from in order to be able to do it properly and to interpret it properly. V'yotzi davar midavar. And to extrapolate things. That's halacha l'maisa. You have to constantly, paskin new things. Because of new situations that occur. V'yidame davar l'davar. And to compare things to things. V'yavin b'midot sh'torah nedreshet pohen. V'yidgemu midot. The 13 hermeneutic principles that allow you to continue to paskin halacha. Ad sheyeda heyach hu ikar hamidot. Until he understands how they work, these principles of exegesis. V'heyach yotzi ha'asur v'hamutar, and how you determine what's permitted and what's prohibited. V'chayot midvarim shalamadu piyashmua, from the things that they learned from tradition. That's Torah Shebal Peh. Inyan zehu hanikra gemara. So for the Rambam, the Gemara was a living process. It wasn't a closed book. And the Gemara continues through the generations to all the Shelot to Truvot that are written today. And you could become part of that eternal process. It's very exciting. That's one of the very exciting things about being a Talmid Chacham. Ketzad. How does this work? Halacha Yud Bet. Hayabal Umanut. Somebody is an artisan. He should work for 3 hours a day. Uvetorah teisha, and 9 hours a day for Torah. Otana teisha, korei b'shalosh mehen b'torah shebichtav. He spends 3 hours. He spends a third of his time. In other words, those 9 hours, he spends 3 hours. In Mikra, v'shalosh b'torah shebal peh, and another third in Mishnah, uv'shalosh achirot, and with the other third, mitbonein b'dato, he thinks in his mind, lahavin davar midavar, to extrapolate, to understand things from things, to be creative, the basket. V'divrei Kabbalah b'chlal Torah shebichtavheim, and the basic Kabbalah that we got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Torah shebichtav. U'peirushan b'chlal Torah shebal peh, the interpretation is Torah shebal peh, that's the Mishnah which interprets the Mikra. Now listen. V'ha'inyanim hanikra'im pardes, and those things which were called pardes, the Rambam previously at the end of Hilchot Yesodei Torah, maaseh breishit, maaseh merkava, physics and metaphysics, science and philosophy, bichlal hagmarai, yegmar. Now remember, we said, when do you start Gemara? When do you start this? And it would have seemed from the end of Perek Daled of Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, first you have to know everything else cold. You have to know Mikra, and you have to know Mishnah. Here it's a little bit different. He gives it a further explanation. Bamedvarim amurim, that you do these, you divide in this way, and a third of your time is Gemara, and that includes Maaseh Bereishit and Maaseh Merkava. B'tchilat Talmudo shel Adam, when a person starts learning. Aval kishi yagdil b'chachma, but when he's really, he already is a great Talmud Chacham. V'lo yehi tzarich lo l'mod Torah shebichtav v'lo l'asok tamid b'Torah shebalpeh. He knows it already. He just has to chazer over, but he knows Mikra, and he knows Mishnah, and he knows the code. I think the Rambam is overestimating most people because he's comparing them to himself. Certainly I'm not in that category. I don't think you could ever sit back and say, you know, certainly I can't sit back and say, I know already Torah Shabbat. But people who, let's say, really are Bikiyim and really do know. I remember we used to have a Bochein at Yeshiva University, Rav Sachs. He was the son-in-law of the Chofetz Chaim. So he used to ask. He asked you what you were learning. And then from whatever you were learning, he would test. And you could see that he had boxes in his mind. Everything was there. He would just close his mind. And then he had the whole sugya with the whole genesis of the sugya with all the poskim, all the rishonim and all the achronim, and he had it all. It just opened up the box. So if you're on that level, then yikra be'itim zumanim, you set special time to chazer, to go over what you already learned. Torah shebichtav v'divrei hashmua, the basic Torah shebichtav and the basic Kabbalah of Torah shebal peh, kidei shelo yishkach tavor midivrei dinei Torah, so that you shouldn't forget anything. But the bulk of your learning time, v'yifnei kol yamav ligmaral b'vad, only to the psika, motzi davar mitoch davar, and the parties. Lefi rochav sheyesh b'libo v'yishuv da'ato, according to the expanse of his heart and mind, and his ability to concentrate and to continue his study. So the Rambam is pretty clear, and if the Rambam were creating a yeshiva gvoa, he would apparently include philosophy and science within the curriculum of that yeshiva gvoa. Again, it would be philosophy and science not for their own sake, but for God's sake. Because those are the things that should also be able to bring you close to God. And you shouldn't be afraid of it. Okay? Now what I would like to do Brachot Lamed Hey Amid Bet. Oh, you have. I'm going to go back to that in a minute. I'm going to go back to that in a minute. The only other thing I would like to do is what the Ramban does in his introduction, which is fascinating. First of all, it's a very wonderful thing to study. But the Ramban also sees Torah in its broadest ways. And for the Ramban, Torah also includes, if you understand its secrets, the ways of the stars and the heavens, the ways of all objects in the world, the ways of the Nefesh HaAdam, of the human soul, the ways of the animal world, the botanical world. So all of these things for the Rambam and Gadol, for the Ramban, are all part of Torah. And this, what I'm trying to show you is, in the Rambam we saw it word for word, but what I'm trying to show you is that for the greats, like the Rambam and the Ramban, there was nothing narrow about Torah. In a certain sense, the world its nature, its science, its which would help bring you to God, ipso facto becomes part of Torah. Now, based upon the psukim that we saw in the Gemara and Daf Ayin Hey in the Sechet Shabbat, I spoke about the three brachot, and I said that surrounding Kriyat Shema, remember that was the end of the shiur with that, and I said that the third, I interpreted the third bracha of Gaal Yisrael to be history. Because when you look back at history, you could see Etzba Elokim, you see the direction of God within history. And I cited Rav Kook, who said that the whole Second World War was important because Israel was taken out of the hands of Turkey and put into the hands of England. Now, obviously, those who are in the second shiur will take mind of this. That doesn't mean we aren't pieces of chess on a chessboard. We make decisions, and those decisions cause certain things. But God will direct insofar as everything will lead to Geula. There could have been certain processes that could have been skipped if we had made different choices. Because we have freedom of will. But God will make certain that ultimately the direction is maintained, and that direction is Geula. The pasuk in Hazinu, in Devarim Lamed Bet, pasuk Zayin, the Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon, this is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to study history. Zachor Yimot Olam, remember the days of war, of yore. Binu Shnot Dor Vador, understand the years of the generation. It's very important to understand history, because only if you understand history will you really understand what God wants. Just add one wrinkle, and then I'll tell you a story. Zachor Yimot Olam Binu Shnot Dor Vador. So I translated it, remember the days from forever, from the earliest parts of time, the beginning of the creation of the world. Binu Shnot Dor Vador, understand the years of the generations. As I said, according to Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon, it's a mitzvah to study history. The Rav Shamshon of Wolfirsch explains Shnot Dor Vador, not from Shanim,
but from Shinugin.
Understand the differences of every generation. because what may have been true in a certain generation is not true in another generation. I mean, for me, one of the most obvious things along these lines is now the whole relationship to Christianity is different. And I don't know if you've noticed, there have been Christian groups coming through. Rabbi Zef has been involved with some very funny stories with some of the Christian groups. And I had a whole group of German Christians on Friday. But what was true, let's say, 50 years ago, or, you know, in terms of the relationship with the Christians, is very different today, because the Christians have made certain changes in their theological outlook. And major Christians, popes, leaders of the evangelical church, and even in certain cases the Protestant church, although the Protestant church is not as good along these lines as is the Catholic church, and especially the evangelical. And we need them more because Islam fundamentalist Islam is very strongly against us. So you have to be aware of the changes of the generation. And that's part of history, and that's part of being able to make decisions. Because very often certain Not so much halachic decisions. I mean, whether how you prepare coffee on Shabbos is not necessarily depend on, you know, on what's happening in the world. But certain questions of medinyot, certain policy questions, very, very important in terms of whether you, the Zionist movement, the religious Zionist movement, with Herzl. Was it sort of an act of the Ma'apilim and had to be put down? Or was it critically important and Reshit Tzmichat Geulateinu and Gedolei Torah had to make a decision about that? There were many issues, halachic issues also, that were on the line. And in order to make a proper decision, you have to understand history, and you have to understand historical changes, and you have to understand historical developments, historical movements. So I'll just tell you one thing, that's what I was thinking about. Something very, very powerful that I'll never forget. I went for 8 summers before I made Aliyah, my family. 8 summers before our Aliyah, from 75 to 83, we spent the summers in Kibbutz Ein Zuri. It's a whole story. There was a kenes. I was invited to the kenes. Then I was invited to go to one of the kibbutzim for Shabbat. And I went to Ein Zurim, and there was chemistry. And then they invited me to come for the summer. And I was coming with my family every summer to kibbutz. And they were very idyllic summers for me. It was very, very nice. And that's when I started speaking in Hebrew. And it was a wonderful preparation to our Aliyah. The whole idea of Efrat began there. Anyway. Maybe this happened in 1977. I had a very good friend. I still have. Very good and beloved friend, Yehuda Neumann, who was our adopting family in Kibbutz Ein Zurim. When you go to a kibbutz, I think it's still true, if you're there as a guest for any kind of period of time, they give you an adopting family. And our adopting family was this Yehuda Neumann, Yehuda and Zahava Neumann. He's a marvelous Talmud Chacham. His father was a very, very big Lamdin. And he himself finishes a Masechet just about every month, quietly, very tzanua. And now he's well into his 70s, probably close to 80. But in his prime, he would work for 8 hours a day and learn Torah for 8 hours a day. And very, very, very serious about Torah. And now he learns almost all the time. He gives lectures, he gives tours in the kibbutz. He was in Jordanian captivity. He fought for Gush Etzion in the 1940s. You know, he was in the War of Independence, and then he was taken into Jordanian captivity, and when he got out, he was one of the founders of Kibbutz Ein Tzurim, which is near Ashkelon. It was from those summers that I grew to love this area, and everything that happened came out of the kibbutz. And then when Rosh Tzurim was started, which is one of the kibbutzim here, which is not far from us, so he was the first year of Rosh Tzurim, he was like the Merakez Meshek, he was the head of the kibbutz. And he went back to his kibbutz. Anyway, one of the people who sat in our row in shul lost his father. Everybody called this guy Moshavnik. His family name is Miftsari. And he lost his father. His father died. And his father lived in Kfar Hasidim, which was right outside of Haifa. So everybody went to the Leviathan. They all knew his father. His father spent many Shabbatot in the kibbutz. So just about the whole kibbutz went to the Leviathan, and I went as well. So it was very interesting. There's a large yeshiva there. Rav Elia, Zichron Levracha, already was the Rosh Yeshiva of the yeshiva. Rav Elia Mishkovsky. And Shul. Long black coat, black hat, beard. He looked European, actually, but I think he grew up in Eretz Yisrael. He was from the Eretz Yisrael yeshivas, but Haredi, and yeshiva is a very respected yeshiva. And when we got there, they were in the middle of the Tara, and the Levaya was going to be outside, right outside of the yeshiva, because the father used to daven in the yeshiva, and then the kfura was right, was nearby. As a kohen, I never went to the kfura, but I went for the espedim, actually. So you could see two distinct groups. There was the yeshiva group, where most of the people from the yeshiva group, just about everybody from the yeshiva group, was wearing a white shirt and black pants and tzitzis out, and there were a few of the Russian yeshiva that were black hats and wore black frocks, but it's hot, it was the middle of the summer. And then you had a group of from the kibbutz, and a pretty large group from the kibbutz, and everybody was in shorts and sandals, and most people also were sitting this out, but wear shorts and shirts and nothing. And you could see it looked like two different worlds. And I was sort of in the middle with my suit and tie, That's what I wear, but I didn't fit in any quite in any of the world. Anyhow, and they didn't talk to each other. There were two very different groups. There was like a war between them. They didn't talk to each other. Each group talked to them, which I guess could be understood. Anyhow, Revelia came out to announce that the Levaya was going to start in a few minutes in Yiddish. I only heard him speak in Yiddish. Very tall, very imposing figure, deep voice. And all of a sudden, he looks over to where I'm standing with my friend, Yehuda Neumann. And my friend, to this day also, is very shy. He talks to groups, but he's very, very, very tsanua. He just wrote a book, actually, and he refused to have any kind of an evening for the book. He's very, very shy and very, very tsanua. And doesn't speak publicly. For example, Divrei Torah and the kibbutz, believe me, is one of the biggest Talmidei Chachamim in the kibbutz, with a number of strong people. That's that. never speaks perfect. All of a sudden, Noelia is looking at my friend. I was standing there too, next to him. And Noelia says, Yutke! Yutke Ilui! In Yiddish. Das ist Ach, that's you. My friend turns completely red. And he says, in Hebrew, could barely hear him, but he said it clearly. Kach hayu korim li b'yeshiva. That's what they called me in the yeshiva. And I knew that my friend Yehuda Neumann had learned with Rav Elia Mishkovsky in the yeshiva in Petach Tikva. Rav Shach was the Rosh Hashiva there. I guess, I don't know, the 40s, the early 40s. So they had been yeshiva friends. And now everybody is looking at my friend from, you know, thinking what's next, and the yeshiva guys, because the Rosh Hashiva speaking to him. And Rav Elia says, in Yiddish, but you left the yeshiva. And you should never have left the yeshiva. And I know that Rav Shach didn't want you to leave the yeshiva. So my friend answered in Hebrew. That's right, Rav Shach didn't want him to leave the yeshiva. And he wrote him a number of letters urging him to stay in the yeshiva. And Rav Elia screamed down at him. He was like standing, the way it was, as I remember it, is like the yeshiva, there was like a balcony. And he was in, so he was tall to begin with, and he was in the balcony, so he was really looking over everybody. And he said down to my friend, and everybody is, you know, riveted, he said, and those letters will stand as a wall of categoria, of opposition against you, when you stand before the Kisei HaKavod. I think he realized he went a little bit, you know. and the students were all ears, and the kibbutzniks were all a little, you know, were very annoyed. I was sure my friend wouldn't say anything. But for him, he thundered back. He spoke very strongly, very definitively. He said, but I left the yeshiva to start a kibbutz, and I fought in 4 wars in Israel. And the kibbutz and the wars will be a wall of sanigoria, of defense, and I'm going to win my case. And, you know, he clearly won that round. But, you know, and Rav Elia said, and I'm sure he realized that he had gone a little bit too far, because Rav Elia, he says to him, you know, with a smile, very warm smile. Ach! Bist geblieben dieselbe Yitke. You remain the same Yitke Ilui. And my friend said, that's why I'm telling you the whole story. My friend said, no. You remain the same. With the same Torah that you had in Europe before the Shoah and before Kom Medinat Yisrael. I didn't remain the same. I saw the differences. And I saw the historical changes. And I felt that it needed different reactions. Total reactions, but different reactions. And then Rav Elia said, it's time to start the Levaya. I'll never forget that. So So that's Binu Shnot Dor Vador. If I'm interpreting the words Binu Shnot Dor Vador, it's very important to understand history. It's very important to understand history. And to respond in the manner in which, as best as we could think, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would want us to respond. You're never sure. The truth is, until you stand before the Kisei HaKavod, you're never sure. But you hope that you're making the right response. But that's the big challenge. And we only have one chance at life. You know what I mean. There are all sorts of theories. For what we know of, we have one chance, and we hope we don't mess it up. But we'll make the right choices to do what God would have wanted, given that we were born in this particular time, in this particular place. And Baruch Hashem, you could always change place. I don't mean within Eretz Yisrael, I think you're in the right place, but I mean from that other place to this place. Now just one more word, since I started talking about university, what we've been talking about now is what is included within Torah. Well, science we spoke about, philosophy we spoke about, history. Perhaps also Torah Tanefesh, which would include psychology. There's one area which is a bit outside of our discussion, but I think it would be unfair not to at least touch on it before I go through all the Gemara was talking about science. But there's one more area that I think it is important to talk about, and that was the second source, at least included under the topic question, is it a mitzvah to attend university? So I think it's important to talk about that as well, or at least to see a very important source that is here. Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. Would anybody like to read? Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. Who would like to read? Somebody who didn't read last time. I get a little nervous when you all like volunteer at once. It makes me a little. Go on, yeah, go on. Be'a makasha.
Okay, speaking of our Papa Rami.
Right, Rami. He flung two psukim at each other. There's a hitnagshut. There's an argument between two sources. Go on.
Ketiv, v'lakafti d'ganei b'ito.
D'ganei b'ito, and I gathered my corn in its time, as I was involved in reaping. Yes. V'asafta d'ganecha. So on one hand, it's God who says, I gathered in the corn, the grain. And the other pasuk says, v'asafta d'ganecha. We say it in the Shema every day, that you should do it. Go on.
Lo kasha. Kan bizman sheYisrael osin ratzono shel makom. Kan bizman sheEin Yisrael osin ratzono shel makom.
Right. In other words, when people do the will of God, then God will make sure that the corn, the grain, gets harvested. I don't know how we'll make sure. Maybe Ahmed will do it for you. Ahmed will do it for you. I don't know, but it'll get done for you. When people don't, if you're not really doing God's will, then you're going to have to do it for yourself. Go on. Tanu Rabbanan.
Tanu Rabbanan.
Yeah, v'asafta d'ganecha. Look, the Torah says you should gather in your grain. This is a braita, and the braita is separate from the statement of Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa to orchestrate between those two psukim. But obviously, it has to do with it. So, okay, Tanu Rabbana, v'asafta d'ganecha. Ma Talmud Loma? The Torah is telling me a mitzvah that I should gather my grain. Of course I have to gather my grain. I have to eat. I have to make bread. Go on.
Lo yamush. Lo yamush. Sefer HaTorah hazeh mipicha.
Lo yamush sefer HaTorah hazeh mipicha. Vadita bo yomam v'layla. Yoshua perek aleph. You shall meditate in the Torah. You shall concentrate in the Torah day and night. Lo yamush sefer HaTorah hazeh mipicha. This book of the Torah shall not depart from your mouth. Go on, Yachol.
Yachol dvarim kikatvan.
Yachol. What does that mean?
Could it be really be as it's?
Could it be as it's explicitly written that all day and all night, v'agita bo yomam v'layla, that all you must do is study Torah? Is that what the point is? Go on.
V'asafta deganecha.
Talmud lomar v'asafta deganecha lo. But what? Go on.
Minhag bahen minhag derech eretz.
Hanheg bahen minhag derech eretz. Do with Torah the way of the world. In other words, have a professional pursuit. Hanheg bahen minhag derech eretz. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Hanheg bahen minhag derech eretz means, there's a Mishnah of the Reshet. Yafeh Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Good is the study of Torah with Derech Eretz. Sheyigiat Shnehem Mashkachat Abon. If you involve yourself in both of them until you're tired, you won't have much time left for sinning. It'll cause you to forget sin. And that Mishnah has always been interpreted to mean throughout the generation. Only in our generation, they forget the Mishnah. They don't forget sin, but they forget the Mishnah. That one should couple the study of Torah with a professional pursuit to be able to make a living, to be able to have subsistence and sustenance. May Ikar Hadin, you want to say, what is really true? What does the halacha really want? What did the halacha say throughout the generations? A person should not accept money for teaching Torah. Certainly not food stamps and other things that put you in a very difficult position societally. So you have to have a means of making a livelihood and study Torah also, and that's why you look at Chazal, Rabbi Yochanan HaSandlar, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, they were smiths, they were shoemakers, everything. They were also great businessmen. They were doctors, Shmuel. The Rambam were both doctors. So the assumption always was that you're going to make a living on. Now, I always feel, I get a salary. But I don't think I get the salary for teaching the Torah. I should pay the yeshiva for the privilege of teaching. I really mean that with all my heart. You could see I love it, and I miss you very much when I'm away, and I try to make it up as much as I can. For me, not for you, believe me, mostly for me. But I do get paid for traveling. I do get paid for doing what I have to do in order to try to make sure that the Torah institution is lit. That I think is legitimate. But not for the Talmud Torah. The Mishnah and the Farshim and the Mishnah goes so far as to say that if you take money for, let's say, writing a get, doing a mitzvah, then the mitzvah is invalidated. The get is pasul. That's Meikar Adin. That's very important. So on Heg Ben Mishnah, so it's only, the Ramah says, I mean, the Machaber, the Shulchan Aruch is also very, very strong. very, very strong. That you shouldn't make money from Torah, and you should have a professional pursuit. Then there's a, the Ramah says, however, in our generations, people are weaker and they wouldn't be able, they can't do both, and unless they're going to accept money for being rabbis and teachers, we wouldn't have rabbis and teachers. So there's a heter, but it's a heter at the end of the day. It's not the lechatchila. Go on, Reb Shimon ben Yochai Omer. This is to be Reb Yishmael. Hanheg b'hen minig derechem. Now, what I said so far, that's not Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Reb Shimon ben Yochai Omer, go on.
Reb Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Efshar Adam Choresh b'sha'at Chavisha, Zorea b'sha'at Zeria, V'kotzer b'sha'at Tzira, V'dash b'sha'at Disha, V'zorea b'sha'at Haruach, Torah Matei Aleha.
Correct. Is it possible that a person is going to plow in the time of plowing and reap in the time of reaping? What's going to happen to Torah? I think about that all the time. It's very, very difficult. You got to steal time to learn Torah. Go on, Ella.
Ella, bizman sheYisrael osim ritzono shel makom, melachtan naasit ayedei achirim.
Reb Shimon ben Yochai says, don't worry, you don't have to. By the way, you see the Rambam has, there's a diary of the Rambam. At the end of his life, he was a doctor for important people in the Arab world. And the Rambam describes his day, and he worked what looks like a 16-hour day in medicine. He couldn't do the profession otherwise. Believe me, he found time to learn from the Rambam. He wrote more Nevuchim at the end of his life. They require a lot of learning. But Reb Shimon ben Yochai says, for most mortals, it's so difficult. Therefore, bizman sheYisrael osim ritzono shel makom, melachtan naaseit al yedei acherim, sheneemar,
ve'amdu zarim v'ra'u
tzonchem. The strangers will get up, the Gentiles will get up, and they will graze your sheep.
Uvizman she'ein Yisrael osim ritzono shel makom, melachtan naaseit al yedei atzman.
Right. Okay. And even more than that, below Ode, Ella.
Below Ode, Ella Shemalechet Acherim Naseit Al Yad Yadam. Al Yadam. Shemar, Vavata et Oivecha.
And even if you don't do God's will, you'll end up having to do the work, the dirty work for the Gentile. Omer Abaye! Psak Halacha. An important machloket. Omar Abaye, go on.
Omar Abaye, harbe asu k'rebi Yishmael,
v'alta biyadan. Many people did like Rebbe Yishmael. In other words, they spent time studying Torah, and they also spent time in agriculture. V'alta biyadan, and they made it. They did it. They were successful. They learned Torah, and they were successful agriculturally. Go on.
K'rebi Shimon ben Yochai v'lo alta biyadan.
K'rebi Shimon ben Yochai v'lo alta biyadan. Many people did like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and it didn't work for them. They tried. They were waiting for Ahmed to come to do the field. He didn't show. Yes.
Isn't it also implying that Torah didn't succeed as well?
I believe you're right. Yes, I believe you're correct, Eddie. I think you're right. Now, that's Abaye. Now, Rava, both agree, rare and important. Third generation Amoraim, normative halacha. Psak. Amalahu Abaye, Amalahu Rava the Rabbanon. Rava would say to his rabbi students, go on, who came to learn with him. Bimatuta minayche. I beg of you, please. I beg of you. During the months of Nisan and the months of Tishrei, the month of Tishrei, which is the planting month, the month of Nisan, which is the reaping month, don't come to me, don't come to the yeshiva to learn. So that you aren't worried about parnasa the whole year. In other words, you have to work. You have to work too. If you could get by with less work and more Torah, great. And if Torah becomes your work, that's even greater, I think. That's why I believe very strongly in Rabbanot and Chinuch. There's no more direct route to Tikkun Olam. There's no more satisfactory kind of thing to do with your lives, in my humble opinion. And that's wonderful. If you really can't, then you have to continue to study and to work. But you can't collect kollel checks to the end for the rest of your lives. That, yes. That you can't do. I have a lot more to say about this. I believe that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai also changed his mind and went to the side of Rabbi Shmuel. There will come a shear, Be'ezrat Hashem, until the end of the year, when I will prove that to you. If you want a little bit of the coming attractions, but that's not the next thing is going to be a halachic. But Menachot Tzaditet Amud Bet and Shabbat Lavid Gimel. So we'll get to it, but it'll take a few months probably. In the meantime, for what I wanted you to know now, that's it. University for the sake of a profession is certainly okay. To a certain extent, you know, there's a place called Landers College. There's a place called Landers College. How many of you know it? And then there's another place called Yeshiva University. How many of you know it? So Yeshiva University's logo is Torah im Mada. I would make changes. You know, I think, as I said, showed you in the Rambam, Mada is part of Torah, but it's more or less what we've been saying in the Rambam, etc. Rabbi Land, not Rabbi, he's not a rabbi, I don't think, but he's a fascinating individual. He's Professor Lander is 95, I think, and still going very, very, very slowly. The blind of death, makes all the decisions, has still building institutions. He makes me look like a real Leidegger. He's terrific. He's just terrific. Anyway, his motto is, the logo of his school is Torah im Parnassa. That's this Gemara. So you can see. But I think our logo is the best, Torah v'Tikkun Olam. Kol Tov. Kol Tov.